reading today is found in the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus. We left off speaking to you last Sunday how that God called Moses when God appeared unto him in the burning bush. And we found that God promised to be with him and promised to help him in the work that he called him to do. But Moses, he could not believe that the people that he was being sent to would believe that God had sent him. And so God gave him three signs to prove to the people that he had been sent by God. The first sign that God gave him was that he should cast his rod down on the ground. And as he'd done this, this rod became a serpent. And then God told him to take it by the tail, and when he took it by the tail, it was turned again back into a rod. This was a sign for him to show to the people that this miracle was not of him, but that it was from God, and it was a proof that God was with him. And God said, if they will not believe this first sign, then put thy hand into thy bosom. And when he put his hand into his bosom, it became leprous, white as snow. And now he was told to take his hand out of his bosom, and the flesh on his hand returned the same as it was on his body. Another miracle that God would give unto Moses to perform so that the people of Israel would believe that God had sent him. And God said, if they will not believe these two signs, then take some water out of the river and pour it on the dry ground, and it shall become blood. But they will believe thee, God said unto him. For these signs then Moses was given to perform. He was to use his rod, and God would give that these miracles would take place. Now they were not only for the people of Israel, but they were to confirm Moses in what God had called him to do. He was to be God's messenger, and he had now three signs himself to prove that God was sending him and would be with him. But he refuses to go. This man Moses said unto God, I am not eloquent, and I am of slow speech and a slow tongue, and I have been so ever since thou hast been speaking to me. And Moses then complains about not being eloquent, not being able to be of ready speech. He complains then that he here proves and says to God that he was slow. When he spoke, he stopped, he interrupted, and then he would speak again. This is something that Moses had. He had no eloquence. He was not an orator. He could not fluently speak, but he did it very slowly. And he thought in himself that if he had to go to speak to Pharaoh and to these men that were alongside of Pharaoh, why, they would trample all over him with their tongues, because he didn't have any gift of orating. And now the Bible teaches us that Moses was a man that was a statesman. He was a brilliant man, and he was likewise a divine person, because he had the Spirit of God in him. And likewise, the Bible says that he was mighty in word and in deed, and that God used him, for his speech distilled as the dew. Moses, then, he was not a person that we would say, what a brilliant speaker he is. But what he spoke was powerful. What he spoke was to the point. We, of course, we esteem men when they are gifted and they have no They have no trouble in explaining a lesson or teaching something and are gifted to do so with wisdom and with a ready tongue. I don't know if I have some Bible class teachers in my class this afternoon, but I think they would say, I wish that God would give me a ready tongue, that he would make me an orator. But this isn't necessary, my hearers, because God takes men that to us we would say, what, can he use such a person? So that when he is with the person, it will be seen that the grace of God is in him, and God will receive the glory and not the man for his oratory and be able to speak so fast. Moses was this man that was a man that said much in very little words. Many are gifted. Many can stand up and hold an audience spellbound. Moses was not gifted like this. But Moses was gifted with the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit of God indicted in him what to say, so he brought it out. And here he complains to God that he had not that gift, and therefore he didn't want to go. But the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who has made the seeing? Who has made the blind and the deaf and the dumb? Have not I? Surely it is only God that can give us a mouth and then give us the speech and make our speech sensible. It is God that also gives us eyes to see. But it is also God that causes people to be born in this world with imperfection. Many are born deaf and dumb. Many are born blind. So these things come from God too. He brings this into the world upon persons so that his wisdom and his glory may be seen in them. He does this for his own purpose. Considering these things, my hearers, should not you and I be thankful that God has given us eyes to see, given us a tongue to speak, that we are not blind, that we are not deaf and dumb? We have many reasons to be grateful unto this God for what he has given us as individuals, for we are not any better than the rest of mankind. And now God, by this, wants to say to Moses, Moses, you're complaining that you're not an orator and that you're not eloquent, but do I not give the mouth? Do I not give the ready tongue? Are not these things from me? I will be with you, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will give thee words to speak. One would think this would be sufficient for Moses. Some probably listening to this would say, well, if God said that to me, I'd sure go. I wouldn't halt. If he's going to be with me, he's going to give me the words to speak, what have I to fear? But Moses, he still did not want to go. He said to the Lord, send by the hand of whom thou wilt send. In other words, don't send me, send anybody else. Moses, he's seen the great task that was before him. And this task seemed to be too great for him to take upon himself, even though God had promised him these things. He would rather have that God would take somebody else than that they would carry the responsibility and the danger of such an office. There are many people like that. There are many people that are asked if they wouldn't do this or wouldn't do that. Some are elected sometimes to be an elder, some a deacon. Some are asked to be Bible class teachers. But they see too what a position it is and what is attached to it. And they would rather have that someone else would take this work rather than they. This is what Moses wanted God to do too. Moses is similar to every one of us in this respect. We all have excuses. So an unwilling mind will seek readily an excuse so that they won't have to do this kind of work. And now God said unto Moses, and he was angry with Moses, he said, is not Aaron thy brother a Levite, and hath he not a ready tongue? This then was to Moses something that he had not heard of Aaron. Moses had been tending the sheep of his father-in-law 40 years. Whether he ever seen his brother Aaron is a question. The Bible is silent on it. And what sort of an occupation that Aaron had, who was 3 years older than Moses up until this time, we do not know. But God said, he is a Levite. He was a man that was gifted to be eloquent. And according to the commentary, they believe that when Moses was in the castle with Pharaoh and was Pharaoh's son's daughter's son, then he had seen to it that Aaron had had a good education. And he was eminent in speaking in oratory and being with the Levites. Therefore God said, is not Aaron thy brother a Levite, and can he not speak? God promised then to send Aaron to go along with Moses. And he said that he would be with Moses' mouth and he would be with Aaron's mouth. And Moses, he would be the spokesman, and Aaron would be the spokesman, and Moses, he would be that one that would receive the word from God. And then he would speak to Aaron, and Aaron would speak to the people. Moses would be as a god, and Aaron, he would be an orator to proclaim the words that God had given unto Moses to speak. And now it appears that Moses is overpowered by God. He didn't have any more excuses left. So he went back to his father-in-law, Jethro, to bid him goodbye. He had been very kind to Moses. When Moses came into Midian, he had invited him into his house, and he had given him his daughter. And Moses had lived with this man, Jethro, all these years. And Moses did not think it right to run away without saying anything to Jethro, his father-in-law. But he went back to him and told him and said, let me go back to the land of Egypt to see if my brethren are still alive. So his father-in-law said, go in peace. These two persons, Moses and his father-in-law, were very much attached to each other, and they remained so, even after Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, this father-in-law of his come to visit him with his wife. And now God spoke unto Moses again in the land of Midian, and told him that he should go unto Pharaoh and speak the words that he would give him to speak, and that he should not be afraid. All his enemies that sought to slay him were dead. Now in this, what God said to Moses, there appears that inwardly Moses was afraid to go back to the land of Egypt for fear that he would be killed. He had killed an Egyptian, and they sought his life to slay him, but 40 years had gone by already, and still he had this fear that there was some in that castle and some in the house of Pharaoh that knew him, that he had been the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And probably they would likewise remember what he had done, and they would kill him. And therefore God came to him with this word, that all his enemies who sought to slay him were dead. He didn't have to fear anymore about them. God took away his fears then concerning the enemies that he had inwardly feared. And Moses then was commanded by God to go up to the land of Egypt. And we read that he took his wife and his sons, and he placed them on an ass, and he went forward. And now when Moses came to a certain place, we read, and God sought to slay him, because God was angry with him. Now this is a very difficult passage to explain, my hearers. Here Moses had been with God in the wilderness. Moses had wonderful communion with God. God had sent him now to go to Egypt, and now God turned around and was his enemy. God sought to slay him. Why? Because he was not obedient in doing what God had caused Abraham to do. God had instituted circumcision and had commanded Abraham to circumcise all the males that were in his house. And from that time forward, the Israelites likewise circumcised the man-child on the eighth day. And now Moses, he had received another son, and he was married to Zipporah. She was a Midianite. And now, as he went to go to Egypt, he had not circumcised this son that he had received. Now, in refusing to circumcise the child, the commentary says, probably his wife, she thought that was a horrible thing to such a little infant to do such a bloody thing upon it. And probably he loved his wife so that he said, well, let it go. But God was angry because he did not perform and give this child the seals of the covenant. He was the man that was to be used in an extraordinary work, and he was to set an example in this respect to all those who he would be the leader of. And not to do it was a contempt of God. And God was angry with him. And now the commentary speaks that already God had visited him and caused him to be sick. We read in the scripture in the New Testament, therefore many of you are sick and weak because they didn't do what God had commanded them to do. But now God already visited Moses with sickness. But you read so distinctly that Zipporah, she who was his wife, she took a stone and she circumcised the child. It wasn't the work of a woman to do this. It was Moses' work to do it. But because he was unable to do it, and God was ready to slay him, therefore she took a stone and circumcised the child. And she threw the piece that she had cut off at his feet, and she said unto him, thou art a bloody husband unto me. A bloody husband art thou because of the circumcision. Now this is difficult. Whether she said this because she didn't like his religion and she didn't like this ordinance that this child had to undergo, or whether she'd done this in affection to Moses because God was ready to slay him. It doesn't say how God was going to slay him. The commentary says they think that there was an angel with a sword ready to slay Moses. Just as you read in Numbers of Balaam, there was an angel in the way with a sword. So probably they said God sent an angel with a sword. And they, seeing that God was going to slay, therefore they performed this ordinance. And so he let him go, it says. The commentary says that he sent back his wife with his two sons.
to her father,
to his father-in-law, so that he wouldn't have any more occasions as he had now with his wife and with his children. For you read after, as I just said, this father-in-law of his came to him in the wilderness with his wife and his two sons. So probably she did go back to her home and remained there. We see in this how necessary it is as parents that we obey God. Some people, what's the use of having your child baptized? Don't mean anything. That's contemning God. God has instituted this ordinance, and those that do this, they really will be visited by God. They will notice it immediately in their conscience, and they will notice it probably in their providential life, that God will lay something upon them. But we are to obey God in this respect. And those that obey him and walk in his ways will find that his blessing will rest upon them. And now we find Moses, he is going to Egypt. He probably was held up a little while in this respect, but Aaron, his brother, God spake unto him and told him to go and meet Moses in the wilderness. This is a wonderful thing if you come to think of it. These two brothers, they hadn't seen each other for 40 years. But God now calls Moses and God calls Aaron. Aaron 83, Moses 80. I don't have too many in my class that are at this age, but it's a proof that it doesn't make how old you are, that if God has a work for you to do, or God has in his plan of salvation your name written in his book, he'll come to you. Surely there are much people that say, well, God mostly comes to the young in life. He lets the rest go on. Very discouraging to talk to an audience of people in this respect. For God is a sovereign God. It doesn't make whether we are 100 or whether we are 10 years old. He has our hearts in his hand, and he can do wonders. So these two brothers, they were wrought upon by God. What a blessing, two in the family. And now Aaron came to meet him, and he met him in the wilderness. And when he met him, he kissed him. They hadn't seen each other for such a long time. But this kiss just didn't mean that they were brothers, no. Because Moses began to talk unto Aaron and told him all what God had said and what God had given him to do. What a wonderful message this was probably to Aaron. To hear Moses talk like he did and to explain to him what had happened to him in the wilderness, how that God had appeared to him in the burning bush, and how God had commanded him to go and speak unto the children of Israel and to Pharaoh and show them these signs. They had a lot to talk about. But it was all to the glory of God. And these two were joined together in this work. And they kissed each other. They both had the grace of God in their souls. And they both loved this God. And now God wanted to use them for this work. And therefore they were united together in love to go forward and do as God had commanded them. And we find that Moses and Aaron went up to Egypt. Moses had said to God, the children of Israel will not believe me. But God had said, when he gave him the second sign, he said, they will believe you. And if they don't believe you then you have this other sign to prove. You make the water blood. So Moses came with Aaron to the elders of the children of Israel. And they began to tell them how God had appeared unto them and had sent them. And God had looked down upon the Israelites and he saw their misery. He saw their slavery. And he was moved with compassion towards them. And he had called these two to be their deliverers. And to prove that they were sent from God, they threw the rod down on the ground, and it became a serpent. And then Aaron Likewise, he was given to throw this rod down. It seems as you continue on, whenever they had a plague to be brought upon the people, it was Aaron that used the rod. This rod Moses had used when he was a shepherd, but now it seems it was in the hand of Aaron. Aaron, I think, was to do the talking, and Moses was to perform the miracles. But you read distinctly that Aaron, he spake unto the people, and he took this rod, and he threw it down, and it became a serpent. Then Moses must have put his hand into his bosom and showed them what a wonderful thing God had given him to do, that when he put his hand in the bosom and it come out, it was leprous, white as snow. And after he had showed them these signs, the Bible says, and the children of Israel believed that Moses and Aaron were sent by God. And they believed and they worshiped, it says. They believed then in the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had promised that he would bring them up out of their slavery into the land flowing with milk and honey. That this God had appeared now and sent these two men to be their deliverers out of the land of Egypt. That they worshiped God in gratitude to him that he now thought of them and that he was going to bring them out. They probably were filled with expectation that it would happen soon, quick. But oh, how long they had to wait yet before they were brought out of their slavery. And now they had gained what they had been afraid of. They had gained that the people believed them. And now Moses and Aaron, they went into Pharaoh. And they told him that the Lord God of the Hebrews had appeared unto them, and that he was to let the people go for 3 days into the wilderness to worship their God. Of this Pharaoh, he was a wicked king, one of the most wickedest kings that Egypt ever had, according to the commentary. They even have the dates and the time when he reigned and how long he reigned. And this king, he answered Moses and Aaron, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord." He would not let the children of Israel go. This was the first thing that this king said. Who is the Lord? God had said unto Moses that he would harden his heart. Now, God never hardens any man or any woman's heart with a positive act. But this king, Pharaoh, he had hardened his heart already against the Israelites. He had put so many burdens upon them and so much slavery they undergo that he had no compassion whatsoever over these people. His heart was hardened already. And now when God lets a person over to himself, then it's a sign that he's hard of heart. Then no matter what is said to such a person, whether he's warned, whether he's spoken to in love, whether he's entreated to leave his wicked ways, he pays no attention. It has no effect upon him. On they go, hardened of heart. Inside they say like Pharaoh, "Who is God? I don't know him. I'm not going to obey him." Who has a heart like that? If I should say to you, every one of us have a heart like that, you might say, that's not true. But that's the kind of a heart that we come into this world with, my hearers. And this is the kind of a heart that you will have trouble with all your life long if the grace of God comes into your soul. Oh, even many of the children of God, they have to complain. How hard is my heart? Where it should be softened, where it should be melted into contrition, thinking of the goodness, the kindness, the mercy of this God, they don't find any softness whatsoever in their hearts. They find their hearts like another millstone, the Bible says. Oh, what a mercy when God softens a man or a woman's heart. When he makes it pliable, when he makes it willing, when your heart is wrought upon by the Spirit of God, and you find text after text coming in and humbling you and breaking you down and making you a willing creature in the day of his power. He has said he would take the stony heart out of our flesh and would give us a heart that knew his will. He would write his laws on the table of our heart and cause us to walk in his ways. It is only God that can give us a soft heart, a broken heart. This king, he, with all what he went through all these plagues, no matter how severe they were, and how he softened at times, and even prayed Moses to pray to this God that he would take the plagues away, and they were taken away after Moses prayed, and still his heart remained hard. He would not let the children of Israel go. How awful is a person by nature left to himself, left to the hardness of his heart. Moses and Aaron, they had this king to contend with. They spake to the children of Israel and they believed, but this king did not believe. He remained in his unbelief. And so Moses, to prove to him that they were sent from God, he took this rod that God had said, take with you, and threw this rod down on the ground, and it became a serpent before Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh, he called his magicians, he called his wise men in, and these magicians, they took their rods and threw them down, and they became serpents. The question is, how could they do something like this? It was either under the permissive will of God, or otherwise it was the devil who was with the magicians and who caused this miracle to take place. It was a miracle too. But of these rods of these magicians, which turned into serpents, were eaten up by the serpent that had come forth out of Moses' rod, which was proof enough that Moses' rod was from God and theirs was not from God. It swallowed them up. Still, when this took place, you could understand how discouraging this was to Moses and Aaron. Of course, if they had not changed into serpents, then they would have gained the day. But where these magicians did the same thing, this was an obstacle in the way of Moses and Aaron. They, in faith, done these miracles. And now, was their faith put to shame? It wasn't, because the one ate the rest all up. But it hardened the king's heart. He wouldn't let him go because of this. And so now Moses, he likewise goes out to God and said that he had showed Pharaoh the words that he had commanded him to speak and the miracles that he was to perform, but Pharaoh would not let him go. And God said that he had said, I will harden his heart. But he was commanded again to go in unto Pharaoh. And this time he was to show Pharaoh that God was the ruler of the universe and controlled all things. For he was commanded to take of the water of the river, and he was commanded to turn it into blood. This Moses did. And now this, what Moses did, the magicians did too. Another obstacle for these men, discouraging for these men. And still God said unto Moses and Aaron that they should stretch their hand not only over the river, but over all the pools and all the places where there was water throughout the whole land of Egypt. And God caused all the water to be turned into blood. The fish in the river died and it began to stink. And no matter where the people went for water to drink or water to wash the clothes, it was blood. Just think of that, my heavens. How wonderful is God and how mighty he is. Wouldn't it be awful if God sent such a plague upon us? All our reservoirs filled with blood, you turn the tap on and blood would come out of the tap? What an ugly sight blood is. Most people, when somebody's cut or hurt or something, they can't even stand the sight of it. They turn away from it. What it would be if this took place, if God would send such a plague upon us. This is the plague that was in the land of Egypt. Terrible it was, my hearers. But we read that the Egyptians, they went and they dug in the ground. And by digging in the ground, they received some water. They could use this water to drink and water to wash their clothes. But this river, the Nile, the god of Egypt, who they worshipped, was nothing else but blood. It was to prove that God was God and not these idols that these Egyptians worshipped. The Lord was going to prove to all the Egyptian people that he was God and he alone. And Moses and Aaron were the instruments used for this wonderful work that God had sent them to. The Lord willing, we will take up for the first plague next week. God bless our feeble instruction this day to your immortal souls. That's all.